My heart here this morning, we're going to be focusing specifically on the shepherd, my shepherd, the Lord. My heart is this morning that each and every one of us here at Cheyenne Berean, that we would know the joy of being shepherded by God. Just a quick story. My wife and I, this week, we had an opportunity to go out, and we were hanging out on a ranch. I don't often get to do this. When I grew up, I got to grow up going out and visiting a ranch. My grandparents owned a ranch. Always used to love and just go and, you know, run all over the ranch, shooting things and running, jumping. And so my kids and all of us, we loaded up in the car, and we headed out to go do this. And I thought to myself, man, how good is it to go out and just enjoy and be away from things sometimes? It was quiet out there. Man, we were looking at the stars, and it was just peaceful out there. And then all of a sudden, it was time to now come home. And on Friday, there were huge storms coming back into Cheyenne. And so basically from where we were, about like a 100-mile stretch, it's like when you look at the radar, you know, and you're like, oh, that's cute, green, yellow, red. That's what we were driving through. And I was like, this is going to be quite an interesting little journey here. And I don't know how many of you are kind of like this, but it is so good to get away. But then the reality is, man, sometimes there's storms in life that come up. And for me, one of the things that I love to do and why we're going through the Psalms this summer is, for me, that solace, that place that I run away to often in life is the Psalms. It speaks heart language. See, one of the difference with Hebrew is as the psalmists are writing, they're actually trying to engage our mind through our heart. And so they're sharing things like, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's these desperate cries that are coming out of Psalm, and they're reaching our heart, but hopefully then to stir our thoughts about who God is and what kind of God it is that we serve. And so as we're driving back in this storm, it starts raining. And like, you know, the cats and dogs illustration? Well, it was like cows and calves. It was like the things were just coming down like bullets. I could hardly see. I could hardly keep my windshield wipers up with this thing. And if I can be honest with you about things, as I'm driving through, I saw that we were driving through a storm that was red all the way through. So what are thoughts that are going on in my head? I can't see what's in front of me. And what if there's tornadoes? And my mind started to race on me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, man, we should have turned around. We shouldn't have come this direction. And I started to fear and I started to worry in my heart. And when I share with you about the Lord is my shepherd, I started thinking about that. I'm going to be preaching on this. And here I am in my own heart. And I'm worried. I'm fearful. Man, I'm going to get up and preach this to people. God, help me right now. I have my family with me. And the comforting notion that I ran into as I started recounting and thinking about, wait, God, you promised to go with me. Man, I can trust you. And my heart this morning for us, if you miss anything, is that we would know that kind of experience and encounter with our God. That you can trust him in the difficulties that you're facing. I know some of you are facing difficult aspects in your life right now. There's difficult choices that you're trying to make. There's difficulty that is facing your family. There's things that are on the horizon that you're going, man, I don't know how we're going to do this. And this is a wonderful psalm to turn to and look and see, the Lord is my shepherd. So together this morning, as we get ready to start talking about this, I'd like to ask all of us to stand. And last week we read it together, and I'd like to do this together again. And so I'm going to start us off, and we'll go together here. Read along with me. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me right now. Father, thank you so much. There's so many different ways that you revealed yourself in the past. You revealed yourself as God Almighty. And then just this last week, we talked about how you revealed yourself as Yahweh, as the Lord. And then one of the things that you use as a metaphor to describe yourself all throughout Scripture, and that's a shepherd. And I pray for each and every one of us that you would help us to understand that aspect of who you are this morning. In your name, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. So this morning, we're obviously looking at shepherding. And last week, like I kind of mentioned as I was praying, we had talked about this concept of God being revealing himself as the Lord in Exodus 3. He reveals his name, and he says, this is the name by which I'm going to be known throughout all generations, and that's Yahweh. And we quickly discovered that what this name meant to Israel was that he was a God who is, he exists, but not only just exists kind of like you're sitting in a chair right now, but he exists, he's active, and he's involved in what's happening all throughout history. And how that was going to help them is that another commentator kind of made the mention that whatever the situation that Israel was going to face, he was going to be the solution for them. When they needed water in the wilderness, Yahweh was the one they were supposed to seek. When they needed food in the wilderness, Yahweh was going to provide food for them. When their clothing that they had worn all these years, he mentions that I actually kept these clothes together for you as you wandered through the wilderness. I provide for you. Whatever the situation it is, I'm the one who's the solution. Seek me for it. He revealed himself that way to this people. And today specifically what we're focusing on is him being known as my shepherd, David calls him. So real quick, obviously we're talking about a shepherd, and I'd kind of mentioned it earlier. This humble description is used all throughout Scripture to depict the relationship between the Lord and his people. And so one of the things that we can quickly see is that people referred to God as shepherd. All throughout the Old Testament, if you look, and there's some verses up there behind me that people referred to God as shepherd. Maybe just to read a few, Psalm 28:9 says this. David's writing again, and he says, oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Another verse later on in Psalm 119, we don't know necessarily the author, maybe it was David or another person. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. And so he doesn't specifically say shepherd, but what is he asking God to do? Man, I've gone astray like a sheep. What picture is coming to his mind? Seek for me. He has a picture of a shepherd coming after him, looking after him. And a final one just to kind of look at this morning is Isaiah 40, verse 11. It says, he, speaking of God, will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So writers all throughout Scripture, they have this picture of God being this shepherd that walked with them. And we'll talk through about what this picture might have drawn to mind. But it's clearly something that people said about God. But then God also refers to himself as shepherd. We can obviously look at Psalm 23 as David pointing people to that. But in Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 24, and I won't go through the whole thing, but I'm going to highlight some specific things. We actually see a really close parallel to Ezekiel actually writing something that probably had something in mind when he was reading. And what was the verse that he was maybe thinking about? Listen closely and see if you can tell me. Thus says the Lord God, Ezekiel says, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as a shepherd seeks his own flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now listen to this a little bit further. It says, I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. Listen, there they shall lie down in good grazing land. Does that remind you of anything? I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep, and I will make them lie down. Again, he repeats it. What passage might have been going through his head? Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What was maybe Ezekiel thinking of during this time as he's writing this? Wait, God had promised to be a shepherd. And now he's expressing to Israel this shepherding nature of God. And eventually he says, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. Even though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So there's this imagery that's taking place that's very similar to a Psalm 23. Was it on his mind? I'm not sure, but there's clearly some correlations between the two. And then specifically speaking of Messiah, it says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, speaking of Jesus, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And so all throughout Scripture, we could keep going and talking about other passages, but Jesus clearly even later on refers to himself as being, I am the good shepherd. He mentions who this passage was even talking about. So God refers to himself as a shepherd, and people all throughout Scripture refer to him as having this shepherd-like quality. But if we can be honest, I haven't really been around sheep a whole lot. Any of you? I know that there's at least one in here that has. And funny enough, while we were up visiting these people, one of the things that I found out about these people is that they actually used to run 450 head of ewe sheep on their property. And so I was actually asking them tons of questions about sheep. Tell me about what is it like shepherding sheep? And there's all sorts of different things that people can say, but we'll find out really quickly there's one common thing that most people talk about with sheep. But we'll leave that for a little bit further here. But let's keep carrying on and look at the imagery of a shepherd. What were responsibilities of a shepherd? When David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, what were things that would have come to his mind when he's thinking about this shepherd? So in looking at this, the responsibilities of a shepherd, 24/7, the guy was going to be watching sheep. We can see that even from Luke 2:8, when we see shepherds out with their flock by night. A shepherd's responsibility is 24/7. This guy was going to be out on the field, watching these sheep, constantly with them, watching over them, making sure that nothing happened to these things. This wasn't even just so that because he didn't have anything better to do on his hands, but sometimes this guy would be working for a person. A shepherd could refer to either the owner of the sheep, or it could be the person out watching the sheep, like David. His dad would have been a shepherd. Who was the one watching the sheep? The younger brother. Boy, I know how that goes. So out 24/7 watching sheep, caring for sheep. Sometimes they would get cuts or other things. And the shepherd would come and they would apply things like oil on their skin to try to help prevent from infection coming on these things. So they'd care for the sheep. They'd feed the sheep. Not only would they sometimes gather food for them, but they would lead them to green pastures, like the psalm says. So they would find food, find areas where they could graze. And then what they would have to do is start moving them to another area so that they could keep feeding. They would lead the sheep. They'd protect the sheep. Well, what are they protecting them from? Well, Scripture will kind of point out in a little bit. It could be wolves, could be bears, could be even thieves, people that are coming to steal sheep from a shepherd. And then, obviously, in Scripture, we find that they would look for sheep. So one of the realities that we come to quickly is another person makes a comment. His name's James Boyce, and he comments on sheep being in this way. He says, in Israel, as in other ancient societies, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of works. Think about that. The term that God uses to describe himself, that David uses to describe his God, is a lowly term. It was the lowest of all positions. Going on, if a family needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son, like David, who got the unpleasant assignment. Remember the times when the brothers are going off to war, and all of a sudden David comes in, and he's talking to him, and they're like, wait a minute, who's watching the dang sheep? You should be out there. That was the lowly brother that was supposed to be out doing that. It was a lowly position. It was a humble position. It was needed in the family, but it wasn't exactly the prominent position. The guys who probably thought they had it all together were out carrying the sword. So it's a humble position that God uses of himself and that David uses of our God. Shepherds had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day, and the task of caring for them was unending. Never stopped. In fact, When David left to go out and help his brothers, he left someone in charge of the sheep. Someone always had to watch these things. So think about that. As we consider God and describing himself, David describing him, he's using a very lowly term, a humble term to describe himself. The work was and still is, it's taxing. Shepherding requires long and many times difficult days as they require constant care. Why would they require constant care? Well, one of the common things that most people talk about with sheep, there's one thing that they always mention about sheep. They're not too smart. In fact, some of them are like, these things are stupid animal. They're dumb. And so as I was out there hanging out with this couple, I was like, well, tell me about sheep. What can you tell me about them? First thing that comes out of their mouth, oh, they're dumb. And I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks. Now I'm thinking about, wait, we're called sheep. And I'm like, I'm kind of offended by this. And if you take somewhat of offense to be calling sheep, and it's, they're not too bright of an animal. Well, maybe to give an illustration of this, to try to kind of help us out and understand that. So I asked, well, tell me a little bit about these sheep. You mentioned that they're dumb, but talk to me about that. And he said, listen, so if there's a storm and they're in a corral, lightning strikes, what follows that?
Thunder.
And all of a sudden, the sheep many times would run over into one corner of this corral, and what would happen? Squish the sheep and kill them. Now, before we start looking and going off and going, man, sheep are so dumb, do people react in similar ways? When we're scared, how do we respond? The image behind me is of people. It was a crowd mentality. Something happened in the crowd that scared people, and what do you see? People being smushed up against the fences. See, before we start kind of talking about sheep in a maybe disparaging way, one of the things that we might want to think about is this. How about we back away from the precipice of knocking on sheep's intelligence for just a moment, since it's now kind of got personal, right? But can we concede something else? Can we concede this, that they are clearly creatures that flourish under good care? Could we concede that? They're an animal that does really well under good care. When there's a good shepherd, they do great. They do well. They're cared for. They flourish. And that's the picture that David's trying to point out. He's not trying to call sheep dumb. He's trying to point out that, listen, I have this shepherd. He is a good shepherd. Oh, man, you should see him. He actually takes me to green pastures and he lies me down. Man, when there's waters moving so that I can actually maybe go get a drink, or maybe I can lay down and the shepherd doesn't have to constantly fear me falling in, he actually leads me to places where I can rest, and maybe he can too. I have a good shepherd. He promises to walk with me. And David is considering that as he's walking along and he's saying, listen, I flourish under the care of my shepherd. Have you seen him? Have you met him? Have you known him? And he's trying to encourage other people to think about this shepherd. Sing about him. So he's pointing people's attention to the wonderful shepherd. We flourish under proper care. Don't we? Think about that. Parents, if you've been in a family where you have parents that care for you well, don't kids flourish and do well? Maybe if you're in a job, maybe it's your supervisor. When you have a supervisor who does a good job caring for you, what's the culture like in that workplace? It's different. And we can see that happen. We flourish under good care. So this was a term that painted a vivid picture in the minds of David and his people. The term David was using was in reference to the personal experience of and relationship with Yahweh. He's my shepherd. And he's using it very personally. He doesn't say this. He doesn't say, man, have you considered our God? The Lord is our shepherd. He's saying, he's my shepherd. I've experienced him. I know what he's like. And I'm singing of him right now, and I'm thinking of him. Well, let's consider something real quick. I don't think it would be a stretch to think David has specific situations in mind when he thinks of his shepherd. What do I mean by that? Consider David's experience. David obviously was a shepherd. One of the things that we can point back to in 1 Samuel 16 is this. It says, "Then Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all your sons here?'" See, Jesse was supposed to call all of his sons together. Samuel was going to be picking the next king, and he's looking at the sons, and as the sons are going by, God's going, "Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one." Finally, they come to the end, and some of you who are younger, I kind of have a beef to preach on since I have a mic, because I was that younger kid. No. Finally, they come to the end of it, and he goes, "Wait, is this all your sons?" And finally, he's like, "Oh, yeah. There's that one kid that watches the sheep, but I don't know if you want that guy." And so here's David out watching sheep, and he says, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep." He's got responsibilities. He can't be a king. We got work for him to do. And so he says, "There remains one yet." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we won't sit down till he comes." See, careful watch over sheep wasn't something that he knew theoretically, maybe like you and I. I have to go to Wikipedia and talk to people to understand what it means to shepherd. But this was something very personal that David had experienced. He had been out in the isolation and on his own watching sheep. He knew what that was like, being a shepherd. And so one of the things that we go to quickly, that all of a sudden we fast forward a little bit in David's life when he's facing a giant. A little bit later, and Saul is looking for somebody. Everybody's shaking and quaking in the thought of facing this giant, a Philistine that was huge. And everyone wouldn't face him. But consider how David drew deeply from this imagery of shepherding to provide strength for him and courage to actually face something. Consider this with me. 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 35 says this. "David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father.'" Now, how often do you think you get to roll back to shepherding to talk about something kingly, going to war? But the first thing that he thinks about when he's talking to Saul is, "Wait, I used to watch sheep for my father." And I'm sure Saul's going, "Sheep, have you seen the guy out there? David, he's going to skewer you. Like, come on." And he says, "I used to watch sheep for my father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him." Now here's this guy that one of the things that gave him strength and courage to face this giant was what? Shepherding. So fast forward just another couple of verses. David said, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear and will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." See, David drew deeply from this experience. He understood what it was like to be a shepherd out watching over sheep. He understood what it was like when a wild animal would come and take a sheep and what he would do. He wouldn't just go, "Meh. That's all right. I got a whole bunch of others." He would chase after it and make sure to kill that animal so it wasn't a threat to the future flock. David understood what it meant to be a shepherd. And this is the picture that came to mind as he's thinking about his God in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." So while shepherding, this boy came to understand an important aspect of the shepherding nature of the Lord that gave him great confidence to face his enemies. Whatever the situation, David learned that the Lord, whatever the situation, he would be the solution from shepherding. Gave him courage to face giants. So as we continue to think about this morning, Jesus too referred to himself as a shepherd. John 10, 11 through 12 says, "I," Jesus speaking of himself, "I am the good shepherd." And what does he describe about, what are his qualifications? He goes on to talk about what qualifies him as a good shepherd. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees." Do you notice what a poor shepherd does? What does the poor shepherd do? Runs. He's like, "Skip that. I don't need to face this thing." So he points out what makes him a good shepherd. "I lay down my life for the sheep." I am the good shepherd, verse 14. I know my own, and they know me just as the Father knows me, and I know my Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. David, a long time ago, he's speaking and saying, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus comes along years later and says, listen, I am the good shepherd. When you want to know who the good shepherd is, who David was referring to, he's referring none other to Jesus. Pointing our attention and fixing our eyes forward into the future, though he didn't know him personally, he's looking forward, and that greater fulfillment is Jesus, none other than Jesus himself. A person one time encountered a shepherd in Lebanese mountains. And the shepherd said to this guy, listen, I know my sheep really well. And he said, well, how well do you know these things? And he said, you could blindfold me right now and bring them to me. And just by feeling their face alone, I could tell you which one's mine. When Jesus says, I know my sheep, he is a good shepherd. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He's a God that you can trust, that whatever you're facing right now, he promises to be that solution. Specifically, when he was referring to that, what was the solution that he had in mind? That we're sinners in desperate need of a Savior. And what did he say about himself? Listen, I'm not going to run. I'm going to face that. I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm going to give up myself for you. So that you place your faith in me. You can have life with me. You can have union with me. I will be your God. You'll be mine. He promises to be a good shepherd. So as we consider a Psalm 23, we can easily, as Christians today, it's not just something for a Jewish person a long time ago. This is something that we can find great hope, great comfort in knowing that God is, specifically Jesus is, our shepherd, can give us courage for the things that we're facing. All right, let's bring this back to an application. How about you? How about you and I? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He was proud of who his shepherd is, enough to write a song. He was proud of who his shepherd is, enough to say, I'm going to write this song so that other people would actually sing of this great shepherd and would know about this shepherd and have this encounter that I do with him. Here's my question to us this morning. When I say you, I'm including myself in this. Have you been able to move from a relationship with God where you know about him to where you know him? What do I mean by that? When David is talking, he's not just talking about someone he knows a lot about. He's talking about someone that he's personally encountered, someone that he's literally relied on to face giants. He's talking about someone who is not just theoretically or hypothetically known about. Yeah, God is this, and I can read a book, and it tells me a lot about this. He's tested this. When we're talking about this psalm, we're talking about someone who has field-tested what he believes. He's been out facing enemies and trusting in the God that he believed would rescue him from literal enemies who are going to kill him. Do you, too, have that same faith to say he's not just our God, someone that we sing collectively about, but do you actually have that belief where you say, he is my shepherd? He is my God. And you have that intimacy of walk with him where you can actually say that, I've walked with him. Have you considered my shepherd? He's a good shepherd. David is pointing attention of people and saying, he's my shepherd, hoping they'll join with him in that. Have you been able to move from a relationship where you know about him to where you know him? For some, the Lord is someone that you've studied, and you can tell many things about him. Yet this brushing with God of the universe has been academic and not life-changing. Many people can know a lot about this God by reading scripture. But if you come to that personal walk with God, is what I'm asking. Well, maybe you've been jaded by your experience and you need help with this shepherding concept of God. How did David find comfort and hope to face a giant? something that I want to think about with each and every one of us this morning. What is it that I can do with this shepherd? What did David do as he encountered this giant? Where did his mind go when he was talking to Saul? What gave him courage to actually face that thing? Do you remember? What was it? Was it going, man, I hope God just changes the situation and just strikes the dude with lightning? No. What did he look to? He looked to the character and consistency of God. He looked back and he goes, wait a minute, the same one that rescued me from animals in the past, the same one that has walked with me so faithfully, now I can actually have this confidence to walk forward and actually face this giant. Because I trust this person implicitly with my life. Regardless of the circumstances, I know he's good and I know I can take action here. So how does that help us in our interaction and relationship with God? Let me go personal with you to maybe help you with that. There have been some times where I've walked through dark things in my life going, man, God, I don't know if I can keep going one foot after the other. And sometimes it takes such a grip on me that it's hard for me to pull myself out. Well, what do I do? What are things that I try to train my mind with? One of the things that I do is I go back and I start thinking back through Scripture and I recount the story of who God is and what he's done. Wait a minute, God, you're the one who created the heavens and the earth. You spoke this into existence. You're powerful. And trust me, at first when I'm recounting these things, this is not worship right away. Sometimes this is me just trying to remember who this God is. And then I go forward and I go, well, wait a minute. You didn't just leave Adam and Eve in a sinful state. You actually took care of things for them. You covered their sin. You take care of us. You pulled them out of the garden. And then as they kept going, man, you took this people out of slavery and you successfully removed them from oppression. Man, you are that God. And all of a sudden, my heart starts to change and I'm going, wait a minute. Now I'm starting to celebrate what God's done and I'm starting to actually worship through this process. And I'm getting off of just thinking about myself and my situation, and I'm remembering the character and consistency of God, and all of a sudden, I'm praising God and going, wait a minute, yes, you are big enough to actually help me. You helped the people of Israel. You helped David. You helped all these different kings when they called on you. You were the one that would actually rescue them. You were that shepherd. You didn't ever leave them on their own. You were a faithful shepherd. You watched over them with constant and consistent care. And maybe you too would need to do the same thing that David did when he faced a giant. Wait a minute, God. What have you done in my past that shows me I can trust you right now for my future? See, from the Psalms, we see people looking at their circumstances and realistically assessing the trouble they're in. I would discourage you from just looking at the situations and going, ah, it's not that bad. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's awful, downright awful. The psalmist would look at the situation and say, oh my goodness, things look bleak. But then what would happen afterwards? Where was their hope? It wasn't merely looking at something changing their circumstances, but instead changing their gaze of where they were looking. And all of a sudden you see each of the psalmists go, wait a minute, but you, God, deliver. Man, all throughout history, you've done that, and they remember that together. Would that be something that helps me understand and go back to the Lord being our shepherd? The one who, whatever the circumstance, he promises to be the solution. And we look at God's character, his steadfast nature in dealing with difficulty. Maybe you too need to recount like I did. Well, there's a shepherd who laid down his life as a payment for sin. We need to remember that. Remember that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. But then there's also this other reality that he says, I have other sheep that aren't of this fold that I must bring them also in, and they will listen to my voice. So there'll be one flock and one shepherd. My question for some of you this morning is, have you come to that place to say, the Lord is my shepherd? Maybe you've not made that decision yet. You've not looked at what he's done for you on the cross, and you haven't placed your faith in him yet. There's one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. He lays his life down for the sheep. I have to come through him. I can't do this on my own. Have you come to the place where you go, I can't do this on my own? I realize what a mess I've made of my life. I needed Jesus to lay down his life for me. I need him as my shepherd, not me as my shepherd. Have you come to that place? Jesus said his own know him. And earlier on, he said they listened to his voice. My last question is this. Can you hear the voice of the shepherd amidst the chaos around you? Do you know the sheep actually listen to their voice of a shepherd? We were out on this ranch, and I'll say this in closing. We were out on this ranch, and even just cattle. My wife loves wildlife and animals, and so she sees these cows coming over to water, and we walk over to them, and we're behind a fence, but all of a sudden, all the cattle stopped and turned away, even though they were thirsty, and it was stinking hot outside. And I talked to the guy, and I was like, well, what, were they afraid of us? And he goes, yeah, they don't know you. When the real rancher comes, because he's just watching them for him, he said, when he comes, even when his truck is coming down the road, they know the sound of his truck. They know who they belong to. Sheep also. We may have kind of given them a knock, saying they're not that smart, but I'll tell you what, they know their shepherd. And watch this illustration and think about what we just talked about.
One more time.
Hilarious. Did you watch the two sheep right in the middle when the shepherd all of a sudden spoke up? Did you notice their heads? They're like down eaten. And all of a sudden, immediately when they hear his voice, what do? Boink. Head comes up, ears at alert, and they're listening. And they hear the sound of a shepherd. As I shared as we started this whole thing, my heart is that we would have ears like that for the shepherd. That we would be able to say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd. My desire for us at CBC is that we'd be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And that this would give courage and strength for us to face whatever situation may come up. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. One, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you that he said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. When we want to understand what a good shepherd looks like, we can look specifically to Jesus and understand even better what your character is like, God, as a shepherd, and how faithfully you walk with the sheep. Thank you that through Jesus we can see that you don't just leave us to the wolves, but you lay down your life for the sheep. You put yourself in harm's way to help us. Jesus, my prayer for us is that we would know that not just as a fact, but it would be something that changes our pulse. It would change our hearts as we think about that. It would bring joy and smiles to our face, knowing what kind of shepherd you are. In your name, amen.